You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome back. I hope your pride... I actually don't care. I am so glad we're recording. This is going to be a really fun one. I was writing a piece on Uranus and Taurus and the changes in gender, womanhood, technology, sex work. And I went down a really deep Megan Thee Stallion rabbit hole. And, you know, I love her so much. I have so much to say about her. And then, you know, it's cancer season. So we're thinking about MIA, Missy Elliott, Lil' Kim. And I just thought it would be fun to do an episode like this. The other reason I think, you know, I have plenty to say about what's going on in the world. And if you want, you can read my Nylon columns, which like really get into it. And I'm sure I'll synthesize it for the podcast. But I also think like it would just be fun to do a joyful podcast that celebrates the archetypal divas we love. You know, if you want the deeper cultural analysis, I'm giving it to you in print. And you can read it at davidodyssey.com/articles. So before we get into the astrological rundown of the girls, which, by the way, you don't need to know anything about astrology to listen to this. I am keeping it really, really archetypal. We have to cover some business. So first of all, I already quit the cafe job. My ingrown toenail has been infected for weeks. I have hypoglycemia. I can't go. I cannot be on my feet, one. Nor can I work that much without fucking starving to death. So, obviously, as with all restaurant jobs, I've been lightly sexually harassed, the usual. So I just think... anyways, the point is, July books are wide open, baby. And I've really have been enjoying readings more than ever. I know I always say that, but they just keep kind of blooming and blossoming. So if you'd like to book a reading, go to my website. They are at new summer rates, more affordable than they've been in a while. So hit them up. It'll be worth it. And especially, you know, everyone is doing the like, it's hard to plan my future when it feels like the world is ending. It's like, okay, well, you know, you are a piece of a larger whole, so you may have a part to play in the future, so like let's get you kind of lined up, you know what I mean? It is July. There's one more month of Jupiter being direct in Aries, so the Age of Heroes is not over yet. And I'm not trying to be glib. Again, like I've really written like novellas on this, so just go read those. I just don't, you know. Okay, what else do we need to cover? I did finish Maggie Nelson's On Freedom, which, listen, nothing's ever going to compare to The Argonauts, but On Freedom was amazing. I love her beef. She and Andrea Long Chu have this like ongoing feud. And when that book came out, Andrea Long Chu like savaged it. And there was all this shit talking about how like, wow, Maggie Nelson is defending Aziz Ansari. And it's like, frankly, posterity is showing Maggie Nelson's in pretty good shape. I also recently watched this incredible long interview with Camille Paglia where she is just like, I don't know, it's interesting. Camille Paglia, we've talked about her as an Aries a lot, but like she's really good. She's the inverse of Trump, which is Trump makes really big statements, but they have no meaning. She makes very outrageous statements, but they are actually all backed up, and she's using extremes to make you figure out your place in all of it. But anyways, it's been an interesting week for that. God, I have nothing. Apparently, I have no remarkable observations today. I did finish, the season of Erotic 80s, which is the podcast, You Must Remember This, which is the film history podcast. It's great. She just finished her Erotic 80s season, and she did a great episode on Sean Young. And Sean Young famously, like, showed up to the Warner Brothers set in a Catwoman costume, trying to get cast for Batman Returns. She was basically, like, publicly derided as, like, a crazy psycho. And she, of course, you know, was exposed to Harvey Weinstein, et cetera, et cetera. She's a Scorpio. So you listen to this episode about this woman who was, like, speaking the truth and then punished for it. And then put into, like, exile and is basically, like, lives in Arizona. And it's like, oh, hello. The same week, I watched the Hedy Lamarr documentary, which is so... First of all, I didn't know that Hedy Lamarr is used... Hedy Lamarr, Wonder Woman, and Catwoman were designed off of her. So, you know, we always talk about Alyssa Milano being the model for Ariel and the Little Mermaid. Hedy Lamarr, it just... Okay. She... one of the great beauties of all time and a genius. She basically invented Wi-Fi in the 40s for the war. Also was, we've talked about this with Scorpio women, which is like when they want to change, the society shuts it down. Like Hedy Lamarr was basically like, I'm not just a beautiful actress. I'm actually like a genius and I want to be seen for that. The society shut her down. They said that people as she got older would stop her in the street and tell her she wasn't pretty anymore. And she also became a shut-in. So, you know, this is a dark place to look for like the Scorpio woman archetype, but there is this thing of like, when they speak the truth, they're punished for it. When they try to change, they're punished for it. And they're usually right. I mean, this is why people hate Gemini and Scorpio, because it's like, they're usually not wrong. Even if it's an awful truth they're speaking, it's probably a truth or has some resonance. All right. Let's clear the air about something. If you listen to this podcast, I think I've made my feelings about Alicia Vikander known. I think she's fine. I think that her winning an Oscar for The Danish Girl and Jennifer Jason Leigh losing that same Oscar to her, Jennifer Jason Leigh from The Hateful Eight, is an eternal scandal and the end of this country being movies. I don't know. I watched the first four episodes of Irma Vep. I am sorry to say, I think she's miscast. I'm trying my best here. I actually thought she was great in The Green Knight. I think she's really... she looks like, you know, the girl with the pearl earring. She looks like she, you know, she's, I think she's way better in a mythical place. Her playing like a chic Hollywood actress who's like bisexual. I'm sorry to say this, but that role is Zoe Kravitz. It doesn't have to be played by Zoe Kravitz, but it needs to be played by someone like Zoe Kravitz. Alicia Vikander lives in Portugal with her husband, Michael Fassbender. Like, she is Europe. Why would you have her play, like, an L.A. girl? The whole thing, look, it's not The Comeback, okay? I'll say that. And it's not even Home for Purim. What's the Mighty Wind? What is that movie called? For Your Consideration. It's not Scream 3, I'll tell you that. Nothing is Scream 3, though. So I'm sorry, but it's like, if you want that girl, get Zoe Kravitz. And by the way, Zoe Kravitz couldn't do The Green Knight, okay? So that's fine. Like, it's not her fault. This is just, you know, there's an order to the cosmos. Speaking of Order to the Cosmos, I just want to say something. I talked with Lulu about this last night. Lulu was talking about Michelle Pfeiffer in Scarface and about how, like, oh, wow, that's the most beautiful woman in the world. And then Lulu brought up, of course, Sharon Stone in Casino. Yesterday, Dirty Dancing came on. Trust me, I am going to make a point with this. You know how Elle Woods is like, this is going somewhere? Yesterday, Dirty Dancing came on Israeli TV. I've seen Dirty Dancing 6,000 times because it's my mother's favorite movie, but I only today realized I've only watched it piecemeal, which is to say when it's on TV, which it's on TV every day, I'll catch the last 20 minutes. I've never sat down and watched it all the way through, I don't think. Or if I did, I was like 9. Was breathless, did not breathe at all through the film, was absolutely riveted. It is a perfect movie, holds up. It's every aspect is perfectly in balance. And this is the other thing I want to say. You know, I always talk about ghosts on this podcast. Patrick Swayze, they don't make them like that anymore. Like, I'm sorry to Shawn Mendes, but some people were born to be sexual. Okay. Patrick Swayze, who is a Leo. Leo is the sign of kingship, royalty, and dignity. You know, what if there were an elevated selfhood that could inspire all of the human race to reach their highest? Patrick Swayze, Paul Newman, Aquarius, Michelle Pfeiffer, Taurus, Sharon Stone, Pisces. This has nothing to do with signs, but we think about these four people. There is a hierarchy, okay? Some are born to achieve eternal glory. The rest of us are not. And when you watch Patrick Swayze in that movie, it's like, you can't mass produce that. Like, you can't make a Patrick Swayze in a Disney lab. You can't make Sharon Stone. She's a phenomenon. Yeah, I wrote this in my notebook yesterday. Eternal glory, embodiment of kingship, nobility. That's all there is. Okay. I have, my insomnia has been worse than ever, so I've been up at very strange hours watching all sorts of things. Temple Grandin, which is a great movie, and a fucking great performance from Claire Danes. This is the thing with Claire Danes. Post Romeo and Juliet, she's not equipped to play... Let's just say I love The Family Stone. It's one of our most bizarre films ever made. I love it. The idea that she's like the normal sister and Sarah Jessica is the like harpy is, it doesn't quite land, let's just say. But if you watch Temple Grandin and obviously Homeland, if you give her a sense of isolation, I mean, by the way, her husband, Hugh Dancy, literally on Hannibal, his character has an empathy disorder. You know, that's her world, which is like, she grew up, she didn't grow up in the, she's not a Gabby Hoffman, she didn't grow up in the Chelsea Hotel, but she did basically grow up in a Soho loft, so like, she should be strange and isolated and different. And Temple Grandin is a great movie, she's really good in it. I don't know, I just think she nails it in a way that, again, speaking of what's the movie I hate, now we're not even talking about The Danish Girl, we're talking about The Theory of Everything. You know, I don't know that Eddie Redmayne can hit the same heights. I also watched, this was horrifying, 2 days ago I was up at 5 a.m. and I watched Eurotrip, or I watched enough of Eurotrip. Eurotrip, no one ever needs to watch that film. It is a classic from my high school years. Okay. I want to say a few things. Michelle Trachtenberg, and, you know, always listen to the very first episode I did with Ruby. Michelle Trachtenberg is a national treasure, okay? Michelle Trachtenberg is not to be taken for granted, and she is an excellent, she's an excellent player. She does great in that film. And then we have to talk about one of the world's most underrated character actresses, Miss Lucy Lawless. Lucy Lawless plays the madam of an Amsterdam sex dungeon called Club Vandersex. I, you know, no one who listens to this podcast has ever watched Battlestar Galactica, but there's an episode where she's in a bathrobe on a spaceship and basically says, you know, I'm the only me in the universe and none of you can touch me. She's an Aries. Obviously, Xena is the ultimate Aries warrior woman archetype. She is also, I gotta tell you, she does a great performance on Spartacus Blood and Sand. She has an incredible affair with Crixus, Crixus is the hottest one, obviously. Listen, Andy Whitfield on Spartacus is like, you know, every human being's dream man. Crixus is, if you are the domina of this house in ancient Padua, like, yeah, you're going to have Crixus come visit you in your bedchambers. Anyways, then she does a full Medea arc in the third season. That's a great show, by the way. They really went for it with that show. You know what I mean? Okay. I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for this. I know I'm going to get in trouble for this. What did I rewatch a week ago? The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. I know I should be taken to the public square and hanged. I cried. I wept. By the way, I've seen that movie 3 times. Sob, sob, sob. I've been on a Brad Pitt journey since I've been in Israel. Just, like, let me do it. And, you know, classically for Purim in 2013, I went to my synagogue's party as Benjamin Button. I started the night in a walker. Then I changed and wore, like, a polo shirt and I had a fake mustache. Then the third look, I was in, like, a Germanic, like, child with a giant lollipop. And people were starting to be like, okay, what's going on? Why do you keep changing costumes? And then I ended the night in a diaper. Iconic. Rabbi Brouse is still talking about that. I don't know if that's a good thing, but she's still talking about it. Okay. This is, you know, that a favorite hobby of mine is observing Taurus Sagittarius connections. So we have the Uma Thurman, Lucy Liu, and Kill Bill. We have the Zoe Kravitz, Channing Tatum, and then the Zoe Kravitz, Robert Pattinson. Brad Pitt and Kate Blanchett. Brad is a double Sag, Kate is a double Taurus. So there is just something about, especially in an epic romance, about in some ways he's ever changing Sag and she's immovable Taurus. You know, it works really well where you see we can't be together forever, but for this twilight moment we're together, it's perfect. And she says that to him, like, we're meeting in the middle. You know, we're almost at the same age right now. Look, it's a beautiful movie. It is written by the screenwriter of Forrest Gump. There is an hour of that movie that is just insipid, where he's like meeting interesting people around the world, including, like, there's the Tilda Swinton, or as my mother calls her, Tilda Swanson plotline. Okay. And you know, let's talk about the legacy of this movie. The 2009 Oscars. This is the year that set up Trump as president, and set up the Tea Party, by the way. The Dark Knight was not nominated for Best Picture. The nominees for Best Picture were Slumdog Millionaire and The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. And The Curious Case of Benjamin Button had about, like, 13 nominations, like, Gone with the Wind level. You know, this triggered the beginning of the end, and here we are at the end. So it was nice knowing you. Regardless, I still think Brad Pitt is, like, the greatest movie star maybe ever. And I just think Cate Blanchett, like, you are looking at her in that movie and it's like, you were born a woman. Like, Cate Blanchett was never a girl. She is a woman. Like, she is just un-fucking that voice. Okay, I rewatched all the Lord of the Rings movies, really beyond. And Galadriel was really a coup of casting. Like, they were brilliant in casting her because she was known from Elizabeth, but she wasn't, like, a global commodity. And that role is perfect for her. I had a huge reclamation with this viewing with Eowyn, by the way. Because In the extended edition, we know that Eowyn gets with Faramir, but in the theatrical version, Eowyn doesn't get with Faramir, and you watch these three movies, you say, okay, God, this poor woman, she's in love with Aragorn, who's sworn to Liv Tyler, who, as my stepmother always taught me, Liv Tyler in those movies did not wear makeup. Her skin looks like that naturally, one. Two, then in the third movie, Aragorn becomes king, gets with Arwen, and her father figure, Theoden, dies. But on the rewatch of the theatrical versions, because extended isn't available in this country, I got a different understanding, which is like, it's not that Eowyn loves Aragorn, it's that Eowyn wants to be Aragorn. Eowyn wants to be a horse lord. And when she's given the kingdom before Theoden rides to war in the third one, she's like, okay, great, I'll be like the matriarch, but I want eternal glory. When she kills the Witch King of Ragnar, people are signing off the podcast. I can feel no one is, I'm speaking to no one right now. When she kills, you know, the scene where he says, no man can kill me, and she says, I am no man, and she kills him, iconic. Theoden is dead, you know, and she's like, I can save you, and he says, you already have. She then becomes Theoden, which is to say she's not some, like, matriarch in the hill country. She is the king now. So it's not that she wants, you know, and this is so boring and Freudian, but it's like, it's not that she wants to have sex with the king. She wants to be the king, and she becomes the king. Miranda Otto, what can I say? The woman's perfect, okay? Sabrina, messy show, excellent performances, and Zelda. Okay, what else do we need to cover? Oh my God. I watched season 2 of Couples Therapy. You know that I never watch reality TV. Rocked my world. Orna, sex symbol, one. Two, the Hasidic, they're not Hasidic, the Orthodox couple. How many hours do you have? Because, first of all, the gay couple, they were like, what if we found the most indefensible proof of Obama era, you know, born this way, gay humanity? One, the Orthodox couple, I was mesmerized. Michal is amazing. She is the proto-Gorgon of all cliches of the castrating Jewish woman who crushes her husband's balls in a vice grip. And more. I think she's incandescent because she can take as good as she gives. And when Orna throws it back on her, she does listen and she laughs. She is everything that Jewish women are, which is not just that cliche, but also the sense of joy and like the humor. And also I thought the show did such an interesting job, like asking like, okay, we get that she's this kind of, she's this kind of nightmare. But also, like, what is your deal that you married her? Like, this is the... Lulu and I are writing a book about this, about, like, Jewish men who want to be castrated. But it's like, what's your deal? And I love how Orna's like, why are you like this to Michael? It was great. I read Cassandra at the Wedding. Fuck. I mean, I understand why it's John Early's favorite book. It's so... First of all, the writing, you know, I saw the August Osage County movie and I did not care for it. This is that, but about, it's just so, it, you know, when you, it's Dorothy Baker, but it's the same as reading Patricia Highsmith where you're like, okay, this woman is not going to waste a syllable. And it, what it does, it's a story about two twin sisters and this kind of fucked up relationship they have. And it comes to this point where you say there's one sister who's fucked up, but kind of special, like she's an artist. And then there's the other twin who's perfect, but she's boring. I don't know. I found that really, really beautiful. Anyways, I highly recommend it. You can read it in a weekend. Lea Michele will be returning to Broadway. I don't know if I talked to you on this podcast. You're in for it. Lulu and I went to see Funny Girl with Beanie Feldstein opening week, second row, before the reviews came out. This was previews. It was an unimpeachable catastrophe. She was sexless. She was, you know, in fifth grade, at the fifth grade talent show, Samantha Hoffer did a dance routine note Waiting for Tonight. It was about that level of sexual charisma, okay? The production was cheap. So I went to that thinking, okay, I'm about to see a Ziegfeld Girls reproduction in 2022. I'm going to be seeing some fucking gowns. There were like two backup dancers wearing these just pathetic sequin jumpsuits. I mean, it was just not Funny Girl. Lea Michele will be taking the role in September. The coup is on. We are in the Lea Michele comeback period. Brace yourselves. I think she's a Leo, but yeah, like really brace yourselves because she will come for blood. Had my Akashic reading, went great. I need to be dancing more. Cannot wait for my ingrown toe to heal. And I will be out there on the dance floor. I need it. I'm ready.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so let's get to business and let's talk about the girls. So first of all, I just want to say, like, broadly speaking, you know, when I'm talking about someone as, you know, when we talk about, say, Debrat as an Aries, I don't know Debrat personally. I don't know her chart. And, you know, I'm not proposing to ascribe anything to all people who are Aries. So if you're listening to this and I'm describing Debrat and you're saying, well, I'm not like that, I don't know you either. What we're doing is using archetypes. And these women who are larger than life are archetypes. The signs that they work in are archetypes. And we're just talking about that as a way of maybe gleaning some understanding about their role in furthering, you know, the evolution of human consciousness. How about that? Okay, does that sound okay? Great. That said, I'm going to do this rundown of women in rap. So this is not women in hip hop. So if you want to listen to an astrology, you know, rundown of Aaliyah, there's an episode on that. Beyonce, you can go to the Destiny's Child episode. Lauryn Hill and Erykah Badu will not be covered. They're not even hip hop. They're like, they're neo soul, I think. So this is rappers, and I'm not going to cover everyone. You know, we will briefly mention Trina. I'm not going to do an hour on Trina. Okay, is that okay? Great. So we're going to do semi-chronological. We're starting with Queen Latifah. Queen Latifah. Like Erykah. Okay, so we are talking about Erykah Badu. Queen Latifah and Erykah Badu are both Pisces. So just off the bat, I think Queen Latifah's underrated because she's a lot of things. She's like kind of everywhere at once, and then she'll vanish, and like she's really a working woman. Like she's always acting, and there is that sense, I think, of her public identity being a little diffuse, which isn't a bad thing. I just think it's very Piscean, which is like, yeah, she has a 2-octave range or whatever, maybe more octaves. She can like do anything, so she'll do everything, and there might not be a necessary linearity of like a brand or an identity, which is very Pisces. Pisces, we're talking about just this open ocean of talent and consciousness. But what Queen Latifah did and does, in the same way that Erykah Badu did and does, especially in that era, she really was Queen Latifah cultivated a lot of different sounds and aesthetics and styles and language and synthesized it and kind of delivered it. So when we're thinking about that Piscean consciousness, you know, that ocean of awareness and all of these different influences and inspirations and kind of modalities being brought out and presented, that's really what she and Erykah Badu have done in this beautiful way. You know, a Virgo really, Virgo's Pisces opposite, Virgo really like linearizes that, which is why, you know, Beyonce's a Virgo. So you get things, you get a lot more like of a direct, clear message, right? Anyways, I think Queen Latifah as this kind of founding mother, there's this essential sense of like, she just opened the floodgates in a really big way, first of all. And secondly, I do think that what's really special with her, with Pisces, we do think about the two fish. There's one fish that swims with the current and one fish that swims upstream. You know, the Jesus and the Judas. When you watch that Unity video, which is kind of like a, it's such an interesting video. It's like, it's about domestic abuse, sexual violence and harassment, and also about like butch motorcycle dyke reclamation. And you see both sides of her. You know, you see her in the leather fucking, which is an iconic look. You see her with the biker gang. That is the fish that swims upstream. That's the kind of like getting revenge, you know, hitting it, pounding it, attacking it. And then you also see her being spousally abused in the video, which is kind of the other side of Pisces, which is the martyrdom, the pain, the suffering. So I just think she embodies that really well. And you know, Pisces is the final sign, but you know, from death comes the new beginning, womb to tomb, all of that. So there is just this sense she was really opening the floodgates for others to kind of jump in and take the lead, which is then where we do have Debrat. Debrat is the first solo artist, the first solo woman rapper to go platinum. So that's very Aries of just, I have a mission, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to be the one. Of course, you know, who did Debrat really follow in terms of platinum sales? Salt and Peppa. You know that I am a big, big fan of the girls. I think for me, I'm either always listening to Salt and Pepper or Peppa, or to whom, the Pointer Sisters. One day when I write my thesis on the Pointer Sisters, none of you will read it. Okay. Salt and Peppa, we have an Aries. So Salt's an Aries, Peppa's a Scorpio, and DJ Spinderella's a Leo. So None of Your Business is kind of a perfect Aries-Scorpio song, which is to say Aries is usually the face of something, and Aries often gets the backlash. So we think about, you know, Mariah Carey's an Aries, Sarah Jessica Parker's an Aries. They don't experience backlash the way Taurus women do, but there is this aspect of like, what I am is dangerous, and I'm gonna be the face of this thing you find offensive. And then of course Scorpio, which is like, you're entranced by my sexuality and you're gonna judge me for it too. So None of Your Business is just like a perfect Aries Scorpio. Aries Scorpio are also both ruled by Mars and Pluto. So Pluto is the planet of the underworld. Mars is the kind of god of war above ground. You know, there's this aspect of fire drive sexuality that is really nicely synthesized. And of course, Spinderella is a Leo, so just kind of throws more fire in the mix. But Salt and Peppa is just this kind of perfect moment. Like, they really take the Mars-Pluto thing of like what rap is about, which is aggression and like assertion, which is the Mars, the Aries, and then the Scorpio, which is the Pluto, is the sexuality and the kind of discovery. You know, the lyrics are so complex that you kind of get a new layer each time. So that, to me, their combination of the Mars and the Aries Scorpio gives us this kind of, it's just a perfect sexual cataclysm. Okay. let's talk. Oh, well, we should talk about Left Eye. So I love the TLC girls. You know that I think Emily Olcott, while I was driving Emily and Olcott to film their music video Hot Ghost, which I starred in and you should watch because it's amazing, I was driving the U-Haul with all the set stuff. I did crash that car, by the way. I didn't crash it, but someone ran into us. It was not our fault, by the way. Anyways, I was driving. I dinged a few other cars. Listen, it's hard to drive in New York, okay? Anyways, Red Light Special came on, and Emily said that Charlie Puth said that his favorite album is Crazy Sexy Cool. I listened to that album since then. I listened to it like 3 times a week. It is flawless. Lisa Left Eye Lopez. You know, when they say what they say about Geminis, she's perfect. You know, you have the issues with impulse control, we can say. You have the outrageous beefs, often with the other girls of TLC, that are just like, girl, like, get a mediator. You know what I mean? Like, call a priest. Okay. You also see an unbelievable, and this is, we see this with Azealia Banks, who's, I would say, the second coming of this, and we'll talk about Azealia next. Lisa Left Eye Lopez as a rapper, those lyrics and the delivery of them. Gemini is ruled by Mercury. Gemini is the voice. Gemini is the communicator. And not communicator in like a boring way. Communicator in like they are speaking the direct. This is coming from the fount. You know what I mean? Left Eye's lyrics are just untouchable. And Left Eye and Azealia both have that thing, which is like the danger, the sexuality, the kind of madness that they're describing in their lyrics is not a persona. It's so direct that they're not even in control of it. Like, Azealia is Azealia, who has no competition, frankly. Like, Azealia's lyrics, there's just Azealia's lyrics are, they're beyond, but Azealia doesn't have distance from them. This is the thing with Gemini. Gemini's delivering a message. You know, Johnny Depp's a Gemini, Donald Trump, Kanye, blah, blah, blah. They are delivering a message. They have no perspective of it. They're completely blind to what they're delivering. So, you know, a complaint about late era Britney Spears is like, why are you singing songs about you being in the club when, like, you haven't been in a club in 10 years? Azealia and Left Eye are the real deal in their lyrics, but it comes with a price. That's, you know, that's Gemini power, baby. Okay. From Gemini, oh, Cupcake is also a Gemini. You know, Cupcake also, you know, listen to the song Duck Duck Goose for reference. This is a Gemini we're working with. So you may be noticing at this point that we have no earth signs. So we're about to get into the water sign cluster, but we've been dealing with air, fire, and water. Earth sign, which would be Taurus, Capricorn, Virgo, is not super interested in rap. At least the women. Men aren't archetypes. Men don't. Do you remember when I need to stop talking about this, but do you remember when I was on that, like, I was on one podcast where they asked me about Adam Levine, and I was like, I don't understand the question. Like, I don't know what his sign is because he doesn't matter. Okay, sorry. He matters as a human being, but like, all right, you get me. Okay. Rap really is an air fire. Rap corresponds, I think, with fire, which is, again, that kind of drive, I'm the one, this kind of assertion of self. That's very fire. Aries, Leo, Sag. We'll get into the Sag, trust me. Air, we're talking about, we'll deal with the Libra cluster soon, but we just talked about the Gemini girls. You know, air is this transmission of ideas and words and verbalization. Water, which we're about to get into, is very much about the tribe. You know, it's about representing where you come from. Earth is not quite that. Earth is really is more about control and embodiment. So when we're talking about Earth, we're going to look at Beyonce and Aaliyah. You know what I mean? And Aaliyah, who's a Capricorn, Beyonce, who's a Virgo, are more about control, and that's what we like about them. Like, Aaliyah doesn't need to rap. Missy will rap. Aaliyah is about this more subtle, you know. FKA Twigs is a Capricorn. It's a different ball game. Okay, so let's get into the Cancer girls, and then we'll hit a Scorpio. Lil' Kim, Missy Elliott. I would recommend, it is Cancer season, please read my Nylon piece on Cancer. I wrote it last year. It really puts a lot of focus on Ariana, Kim, Missy, MIA, Roisin Murphy, Marianne Williamson, Phoebe Waller-Bridge. But Kim is an interesting side of Cancer, which is Kim and Missy do a similar thing, which is Cancer is the sign of the home and the tribe. And they're basically saying, you know, Kim has the line in Lighters Up, which is, let me give you the walkthrough, show you what you do and you don't do. And Lighters Up is this video about her walking around Brooklyn, walking around Bed-Stuy. It's an incredible song. And the song is about this sort of like global sense of a neighborhood, you know, this neighborhood that occurs in all sorts of cities where you know the language and the words. And Kim and Missy, I think, on a stylistic level, you know, if you watch their music videos, they take a lot of the aesthetic of their world, their language, their upbringing, and transmute it into these very big fashion concepts. You know, the Missy videos are so... she's pretty much aesthetically untouchable, and she's doing these things that are so authentic. It's not like she's being put in a costume, you know what I mean? They're these kind of elevations of her own style, and that's really Cancer. Cancer is about, this is my tribe, this is where I come from, I'm going to show it to you, you're invited. And also, by the way, you know, Where They From, which is a great video in which I guess Pharrell isn't available, so they have a hand puppet do his segment, which is incredible. Anyways, Where They From is her response to the Miley Cyrus VMAs controversy, where she's talking about, like, you know, where I come from, this is what this thing means, and I don't think you understand it. That's very Cancer. And the thing I would also say, I think, with Kimberly, Kim is really about, when we think about her plastic surgery journey, the shell is there. You know, she really, Lil' Kim is very small physically, and she really was out there. Like, she really was hanging with these huge men. And by the way, in my cafe, I was playing her the other day, because the men in my cafe are always playing fucking, like, hardcore gangster rap, and I was playing her, and they were like, oh, so do you like Britney Spears too? And I was like, yeah, but what is the ascription being made? Like, why is it that because I'm playing a woman, she's immediately brought back to being like a joke? Not a joke, but do you get what I'm saying? Like, Lil' Kim had the Cancerian bravery of saying, I will never be accepted. I am going to assert myself so hard that they're just going to have to take me, which is very Cancer. Cancer, you know, it's speculated was the sign of Alexander the Great. You know, I think he's also a Leo, but we leave that for historians. There is that absolute, unbelievable ambition. Cancer's card in tarot is the Chariot. Cancer is saying, like, I'm going for it, okay? While we're talking about Kim, I would just say, How Many Licks, one of the greatest songs ever made, the How Many Licks video, trust me when I say they don't make them like that anymore, okay? That video... There are some of her dance moves in that video are okay. Just check it out. Her Knight Rider look in that video, incredible. The video makes no sense. Okay. And then the third cancer we should talk about, of course, is MIA. So, you know, we think about the crab that carries its home with it. MIA literally is like goes from culture to culture and takes a little bit with her and carries it on her back. You know, she carries her own family and cultural history. And I have to say one of my favorite episodes we ever did on this podcast is the MIA episode with Fariha Khan. Please check it out. But, you know, MIA, she has the song World Town. Her music is about – and I've talked about this a lot, but, like, there's this piece in The New Yorker about her where they're like, you know, the term world music is so lame because it just makes you think of, like, really boring kind of music for everybody that's, like, very educational. Her music is actually world music in that she goes around the world and, like, pieces it all together. And she's very Alexander the Great. You know, Alexander the Great, every nation he conquered, he really did honor its traditions and its beliefs, and he really did want to integrate everything. So she is this cancer where she's saying, like, in the fall, and, you know, of course she blew up in the 2007-2008 period when we're heading towards the financial crisis, because she is really saying, like, you know, in the fall of capitalism, we are all going to just be migrants on boats, like wanting to wear Adidas shoes. So she has a real Cancerian vision. And also, she's never made bad music. So, you know, what are you going to do with that? I would recommend, you know, the Borders video. That's pretty much the cancer statement. Okay. Trina is a Sag. You know, I think Trina's an introduction to Nicki Minaj, who's another Sag. Miley Cyrus, who we just spoke about earlier, also a Sag. You know, Sag wants to provocate. Sag needs to fire an arrow at something, and it needs to blast a door down. So when you give them something like, say, sexual propriety, we're in business, baby. You know, Trina doesn't give a fuck. God, that RuPaul's Drag Race season 6 episode where Eve and Trina are the judges, and when Trinity K. Bonet does What a Man, and they cut to Eve nodding her head in, like, you did good. Okay. Nicki really is a Sag in that she's a pioneer. And Nicki really fucking blasted that door all the way back down, and she took it to a whole new level. Nicki as a Sag, and this is very fire sign, Nicki needs a nemesis. Nicki needs a cause that she's gonna, you know, burn down, and Nicki needs to be escalating. These are all, Sag is always moving, you know, which is good. It just can be hard in terms of when you're not breaking a record, when you're not toppling your enemies, when you're not, you know, conquering new land. What are you? How do you define yourself? And that's when Sag runs into some trouble. So Nicki is really, when Nicki's on her own, and it's her against the world, she is untouchable. I think it's harder for her to reconcile with a world in which she is the world she created, which is all of these women rappers who have come because of her. I think it might be hard for Sag to, and by the way, you know, this is what Dexter said in the Britney Spears episode, like, when you've made toxic, there's nowhere to go from there. Like, Sag goes all the way to the stratosphere, and eventually it's like, you're just going to fly too close to the sun eventually. I think Nicki's immortal. I just think, like, she needs she's often wanting there to be a conflict when there isn't, and she needs that. That makes sense for Sag. Jane Fonda's the same. Like, she needs... She was married to fucking Ted Turner. You know, I watched that documentary for the 40th time. She's married to Ted Turner, who... My favorite part of the documentary, she's like... And he really was quite sexy. Like, she's like, yeah, he was hot, by the way. Like, it's not just that I married a billionaire. Like, he was fucking stacked. And then when she talks about going to the Oscars before she got Monster-in-Law, and she was like, and I looked really good. Anyways, Jane Fonda is married to Ted Turner. She's living on the ranch, and she's like, I want to go, like, be a feminist. Like, I can't do this. Like, I need to go attack a cause. So that's... That's Nikki. And that really brings us to... Oh, wait. What? Sorry. I would never disrespect Eve. Eve is huge, and I would never disrespect her. Eve is a Scorpio. Eve was a really big Scorpio. Her presence is most strongly felt during the Bush years, though she's still active in turning it. You know, Eve as a Scorpio is bringing a lot of what Kim and Missy were doing in the late 90s. Eve is saying, you know, how is this threatening or dangerous in this new era, in this era of feminist backlash? She's taking a lot of what Queen Latifah did, and she's kind of inviting a confrontation. You know, there's just something about her that is reflective of the moment, but also reflecting its... to me, Eve has kind of a subtle provocation to her. I just think she's so chic. I think she's so elegant. And I also think her gender as a Scorpio was quite challenging at the time. I think it was quite exciting and different at the time, because she wasn't as butch as Missy, but she was still saying, like, when you put me and Gwen Stefani together, I'm gonna give you a sexuality that is really fucking hot, but you're not gonna quite know what to do with it, and you're gonna have to reckon with that. I love the woman. Okay, let's get into the air signs. So let's start with Cardi. Cardi B is a Libra. So, you know, I wrote about Cardi B and Doja a lot in my Libra article. Please check it out. You know, you can learn a lot about Gwen Stefani and Gwyneth there too. But, you know, Cardi B was a stripper who then made her way up. And Libra is always on the ascent. Libra is always pursuing objective perfection. That objective perfection can be justice, or it can be beautiful surroundings. In her case, it's both. You know, she's obviously... We love what she's done with Bernie, all of that. You know, she's... Her take on the government shutdown a few years ago is legendary. And she really is quite tapped into, like, this shit is fucked up. You know, she is kind of a perfect Libra, which is, like... She's very much about consumerism and money and beauty, but she actually does think that everyone should have it. Like, when you watch the Money video and you compare it to Ape Shit by Beyoncé, which, by the way, Beyoncé is making a very different political statement, and it's also extremely powerful, but the Money video works because it is about hyper-consumerism and opulence, but it is done through a lens of, like, popular, trashy gaudiness. And that is Cardi B saying, you know, Beyoncé the Virgo is above you, which is fine. That's what Virgo should be. I'm not. I am, you know, who's a Libra rising? Anna Nicole Smith, Britney Spears, Adolf Hitler, The Rock. You know, there's this thing of, I am like you, I just... am more ambitious than you, or I am like you, but I want to go further. But she really does understand kind of the... She's done an incredible job, and this is what Libra is, the courtesan. You know, Libra is saying, like, sex, marriage, doesn't matter. It's all for a price. And she really introduced this conversation about sex and capital in a really big way. And then we go to Doja. So Doja is a Libra. Doja, I think, you know, Planet Her is huge, and the videos in Planet Her are really special. They're sci-fi. There's the astrology themed video for You Right, where The Weeknd, who's an Aquarius, is, I mean, he's pouring the waters. She's a Libra. The whole thing, it's a beautiful video. But also, Need to Know, which is like set, it's this like Fifth Element future where she and Grimes go to a party and she's blue. Beautiful video. Doja, I think, has a really special relationship with femininity, beauty, and womanhood, where she's taking those Libran themes of the Venus, you know, the beautiful femme, and she is imbuing them with a lot of the masculine aggression of rap and the kind of like self-affirmation, but it is all back into this lens of like, there's something deeply receptive about it. And there's something deeply like, it's very much, it's not as consumerist, I would say, as Cardi. It's more about the attainment of beauty, which, you know, that's where we're in the Gwyneth Paltrow territory. And then following the air sign thing, we come to Megan. So in my Uranus piece, I wrote a lot about Megan. Because I was talking about Uranus and Taurus and about this kind of explosion of OnlyFans culture, Twitter, bottom culture, you know, sex workers' rights, and also just this really liberating, not liberating, but this just real equation of sex with capital. And I watched the Thought Shit video. I've watched it so many times. That video, first of all, Megan's an Aquarius. Aquarius is the revolutionary. Aquarius is the visionary. By the way, Megan, you know that Megan got a degree, her bachelor's recently, and she said she wants to open an assisted care facility. That's her dream. Okay, we're really, you know, in it. The Thought Shit video, we see some sort of an old white congressman who hates black women, and Megan, he gets online, he leaves nasty comments on her videos. Megan and a crew of women with their asses out, dressed in like traditional male jobs, like garbage men. They also do diner waitresses, but like garbage men, cops, like these very like village people-y jobs, asses out. They run him over and then terrorize him. The waitress, you know, the diner waitress, don't even get me started. And then they castrate him, all while twerking. And then they sew a vagina onto his face. So it's an incredible revolutionary video, but Megan is taking what Cardi has done and Cardi is saying, I'm going to pursue this and kind of embody this and demonstrate it. Megan is saying like, okay, yes, sex and capital are one. We should all be getting ours. This is what I'm worth. She's also wanting to go even further. Megan is really about like, what is the future? And she's kind of proclaiming this future where pleasure, money, beauty, all of it are just wrapped up in one. You know, she has a little bit more of that Aquarian distance. I love her, and she was a great judge on, I mean, she wasn't a great judge, but on the HBO, whatever, you know, that show was kind of weird. The ballroom show. She wasn't that great of a judge because she's an Aquarius and she's too big picture for it. But, you know, when you watch her videos, you listen to her lyrics, you're getting the sense that as the Aquarius of this group, she's trying to take all of these ideas and look into the future. And when she's showing these different kinds of sexually embodied women in these formerly like workaday male costume, she's suggesting like a new world order, you know? So needless to say, I think it's a very exciting time for the girlies. And, you know, I just think there's another way of viewing them kind of archetypally. And I, by the way, there's so much I don't know about them, and I'm really curious what you're thinking and what came up for you when you listen to this. So let me know. And I hope you enjoyed. You know where to find me. The books for July are open. So book a reading. Everything is at davidodyssey.com. All my articles, podcasts, and where you can book readings. And thank you for joining me. Mwah.